Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Wonderful. Please take your seats. I think wonderful. Judges, please, chapter 6. I want to share with you some word on spiritual warfare. I've called it Spiritual Warfare 101. Spiritual Warfare 101. Nudge your neighbor and tell him if there's anything you're going to need in the months to come, it's going to be warfare. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't realize, you know, until maybe a year after I was born again, that I was actually born again into a war. That God had given us stuff like armor, you know, and it's not to hang on your wall. How many of you know the armor of God isn't for you to look pretty in? In fact, actually, I realized the more bashed your armor is, the more God likes it. Because the God we serve is up close and personal with our enemy, the devil. It's like some of you are ready to run out the door already. What, there's a devil? Huh? Yeah, there's a devil, defeated one. And there's something amazing about the armor that God gives us, because he doesn't call it the whole armor of Pastor Temi. He doesn't call it the whole armor of Wafa P or John Baker. He calls it the whole armor of God. So you think about it. When you've got that helmet down, you've got that breastplate shining, you've got that shield there, you've got your loins girded, you've got your feet shod, the devil doesn't know who's behind the armor. And actually, the closer you get to him, the more he thinks is God. Isn't that good? And the Bible says, you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's an interesting thing about wrestling. You know, with boxing, who was that guy who used to just dance around the ring? Hardly like, who was that? Was it Floyd? Huh? Whitaker. Who was it? Prince. No, Prince was a musician. He was a boxer, and he just used to dance around. I was thinking of like Floyd Mayweather or somebody. Nassim Hamid. Okay. Prince Nassim. Oh, you're right. Prince Nassim. Yeah. And he would just dance and dance and dance around. You see, but in wrestling, you can't do that. Wrestling is up close and personal. Somebody told me once, bursted my bubble. Somebody told me that a lot of the wrestling that you see is made up. I was so sad. I mean, I used to love all that kind of, you know, like hitting each other with dinner trays and chairs and full slams and all that kind of thing. And then they told me, I used to watch Big Daddy. Anyone remember Big Daddy? Easy, easy, easy. And then Giant Haystacks. And then there was this guy, Fatty Thomas. There was a guy called Fatty Thomas who was a wrestler, and they had to reinforce the stage because one time he went straight through the ring. Imagine. He was like 72 stone. He died of a heart attack. Imagine. But our kind of wrestling has got to be up close and personal with the enemy. And I noticed something, you know. You wrestle the enemy a few times, right? You get into the ring, you fight. And you fight and you fight and you fight. And one of the things that God gives us to fight is determination. Because you imagine, if God told you, right, he said, right, okay, I want you to get ready for something. In 6 months, you're going to have a 200-meter race with the devil. The prize is your destiny. How hard would you train in that 6-month period? You would develop anything that was necessary to win in that thing. And I realized, wow, I said, determination is one of the main gifts that God gives us in our fight against the enemy. We've got to be more determined than Satan himself. More willing, more full of energy, more ready to beat down the enemy of our souls. The Bible says that a trusted weapon of the devil in Daniel chapter 7, I think it is, round about verse 26, one of the trusted weapons of the enemy is to wear out the saints. So we've got to become A-level refreshed people, ready to refresh. Some of us didn't get much sleep after the all-night Friday. We went to the all-night, and then Saturday morning, I was doing life changes with Roro, and then Roro came over and, to clean our place. And it was like, my gosh, man, like, is she battery-operated? But then I was sharing this morning with some of the guys, you know, Prophet Nana's team, some of you who were with me in Ghana when we went to see Prophet Nana, some of the guys who were looking after us there hadn't slept in 2 days. Because they've gone straight from all night into serving, and they had a business seminar. They went out to prisons and an orphanage to deliver clothes and everything like that. And some of them hadn't slept in 2 full days. Can you imagine? And I was like, I was thinking, oh, woe is me, for I am undone, because I hadn't got my beauty sleep, you know, just like enough. So I fell asleep in front of the TV yesterday. The dog wouldn't leave me alone. And then the wife wouldn't leave me alone. You know the way it is. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know. But yeah, and it just realizes as you move in to the things of God, as you push in to the things of God, the grace and the equipping necessary to get you over into the victory is there meeting you. And you move out, you push in faith a little bit more, you suddenly realize, wow, I've got more tenacity, I've got more ability, I'm more determined to see my blessing, I'm more determined to see my breakthrough, I'm more determined to see my destiny in action than I was before. I pray that will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. But you see, we've got, when we realize that we have an enemy called the devil, the next thing is we've got to work out what his strategy is. The Bible says in, 2 Corinthians 2, I think it is, somewhere like that. It says that we are not unaware of his devices. And if you look up that word devices, it's literally his strategies. So the devil has strategies. He has ways to kind of wear us out. You see, we might think our load is heavy, getting through life, trying to make it. You're fighting all kinds of spirits in the atmosphere, trying to hold back your blessing. And then suddenly, you know, God shows you the woman of your dreams. And it's like, wow, you know, she's a wonderful lady. And then you have your first fight. Anyone remember their first argument? Oh. Knockout blow by the devil. Thank God, by the time I had my first argument with my wife, I realized something, right? I'm sure that one of the reasons that my life has been successful is that I blame every failure on the devil. Every failure. I come looking for the enemy. Right, you and me in the ring now. Boom, bye, break your power, Satan. I bind you in Jesus' mighty name. I claim blood and fire down on you in Jesus' name. The Bible says when my enemy comes against me one way, he will end up fleeing 7 ways. When the thief be found, he shall repay 7-fold. So there's something that God likes about the number 7. So I call 7 arrows down on you, devil, in Jesus' mighty name. 7 plagues on your house in the name of Jesus. And you look around, the devil's not in the ring. You're ready for a fight, but he's not there. Hallelujah. And actually, I heard the story once where somebody saw a picture in the spirit. They were just praying sometime, and they saw this picture in the spirit of the devil walking a principality through a neighborhood. And he said, you know, they're basically going into houses, causing trouble, causing strife and all sorts of stuff like that. And then they come out of this, they walk into another house, cause all kinds of mayhem, all kinds of upset, move into another house. And then they walk past this particular house. And this demon says to the devil, he says, like, why aren't we going in there? He says, oh, no, Pastor so-and-so lives there. He'll give us hell. Hallelujah. Do you remember the demons when they were coming out of the madman of Gadara? And they said, have you come to torment us before the time? You see, so there's an allocated time to torment the enemy in hell itself, right? Some people think that somehow the devil sits in hell. No, he's afraid of hell. That's the last place he wants to be. Have you come to torment us before the time? He hates that place. So we'll give him some. You know, Holy Ghost fire feels like hellfire to the devil. break his power. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I hope you're ready for this. Because, you see, our spiritual warfare, our year of pressing, when we're pressing into the blessing of God, we apply pressure on circumstances. We apply pressure on our situation. We are determined to see the breakthrough. We know how to pray. We know what it means to make tremendous power available. The Bible says in the book of James, dynamic in its working. So we know how to apply the pressure of prayer into a situation, how to give God no rest until he establishes Zion and makes it a praise in all the earth, right? So the answer, whatever question we have, whatever situation we have, the answer is to pray and break through. I've noticed a lot about people who are victims of spiritual warfare who don't know what to do. They will react in all kinds of ways, and then you can identify what kind of spirit is attacking them, often by the way they're reacting. Very, very interesting. Spiritual warfare 101. Would you like to know some stuff? I think God's got something good for you today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even though you're intensely quiet and exceedingly moribund. And melancholic beyond measure. Praise God. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. Now let me explain something about the realm of the spirit. The same demonic powers that worked through kings, pharaohs, individuals in the Old Testament are still around today. It's very important to know that. Spirits are eternal. Spirits are eternal. I said spirits are eternal. So we have got to understand that the same spirits that were afflicting the children of Israel under the old covenant tried to come after believers in the new. It's really, really important. Midian, you see, the outworking of Midian in the natural against the children of Israel back then is the same outworking of the spirit of Midian in days like today. So Midian is a spirit. Eglon is a spirit. Pharaoh is a spirit. Jezebel is a spirit. Just like angels are eternal, demons are eternal. Do you remember Gabriel in the book of Daniel? What is it, 400 and odd years before Christ? Something like 440 odd years before Christ, this angel called Gabriel appears. And then 460 odd years later, whatever it was, appears to Mary. Well, he didn't go in with an old cane, like, you know, just needing a little help from some of the younger angels. No, because angels are eternal. Demonic spirits are eternal. That's why hell exists. Hell exists for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. If anyone ends up in hell, it's not because somehow God failed. The Bible says it's not the will of God that anyone perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the Savior. So this knowledge of the Savior has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ itself, right? We got to understand that. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, hell is not for you. So don't go there. So it's really important that we know where we are in eternity. The planet Earth is effectively the wrestling ring of humanity. That's where we learn to fight the good fight of faith. We learn how to fight those things that kept us bound. When before I gave my life to Christ, one of the spirits that just used to attack me continually was the spirit of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh spirit is one of those spirits. It just oppresses people. It oppresses wage earners. Let me get some scripture on this for you so you can actually see what we're talking about. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 5. and we'll look at 13 to 17. We'll come back to Midian in a few minutes, and I'll show you something there by God's grace. But I want us to go right now to Exodus 5:13. I want you to see something. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 13. This is the children of Israel under the slavery of Pharaoh. The taskmasters pressed them and said, complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw. Anyone feel like they're making bricks without straw at work? Anyone just put up your hand if that's what's been happening to you? Pharaoh. It's a spirit. Verse number 14. Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them were beaten and were asked, why have you not completed your required targets? Why haven't you met your targets, Pharaoh? You're not given the equipment to achieve your targets at work, and yet you're expected more and more, and that thing becomes an oppression on your life, Pharaoh. Pharaoh. Now, don't go into your boss tomorrow. My pastor said you're a Pharaoh. No, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. We are fighting principalities here. You don't succeed against these things in the natural. You destroy them in the spirit, and they automatically scatter in the natural. Suddenly your boss, who was your worst enemy, can become your best friend. Because that spirit, people are subject to spirits. You think every thought that goes through your head originated from you. You are deceived. Why have you not completed your required amount either yesterday or today, making bricks as previously? Verse number 17. But he said, now this is the same foremen, but you are lazy, very lazy. Anyone ever been told off by your boss like that? Well, if you're diligent, but your boss is calling you lazy, very lazy, chances are there's a spirit behind you, a bit behind it, attacking you, and you have to break that spiritual stronghold. Is this helping someone? I pray that you get promoted as a result, because suddenly your boss, who was your worst enemy, can become your best friend. And they say, wow, I don't know what it is about you that's changed. Suddenly I want to promote you. Suddenly I want to increase you, give you a bonus. Here's a little something from your boss. You know, they've got budgets for that. Rise up and take that budget in the name of Jesus. They won't even know what happened to you. Suddenly you're spoiling the Egyptians and they just can't print enough money to give to you. May that be your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Pharaoh, wow, that thing oppressed me. Everywhere, oppression, oppression, oppression. You see, let me answer something for you, right? The answer to overcoming that kind of oppression isn't socialism. Right, okay, this is part of the problem with the body of Christ, right? The moment I mention a spirit like a socialist spirit, you think I'm talking politics. I'm talking spiritual warfare. Good preaching, Pastor P. Say it again. The answer to spiritual oppression is not socialism. Socialism will use other people's money to try and deliver you from oppression that's spiritual until they run out of other people's money. Then they start printing money. And then suddenly they can't afford to print the money. You know the story about what Idi Amin in Uganda? You never heard that story? Where his treasury minister came to him. He said, print more money, print more money. The treasury minister said, he can't. He said, our money is already being used. He said, it's already more popular than toilet paper. And Idi Amin says, okay, well, go and find out where the people are pooping and print money. Imagine, such was the devastation in that place. Largest oil reserves, or second largest oil reserves in the world, Venezuela. Look what's happening there. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. A political system cannot provide the answers to a spiritual problem. Wow, it's like preaching to a fridge First Church of the Frozen Chosen. Take out your Watchtower magazine and we'll go to page 54 instead. My goodness me. It's a spirit. I said, it's a spirit. You can vote who you like. I'm not telling you who to vote for, who not to vote for. No way. No way. In fact, we need political people in every single party. Every party. Greens, Monster Raving, Loony, good Christian people in every party. Yeah. We need our representation there. I'm praying about something that might be heavy this coming year. I mean heavy. How many of you would like to go to jail for the gospel? I thought as much. I'm in the wrong church today. Jesus. Anto, start the car. We'll go find someone to preach to. Praise Jesus. My. Spiritual warfare. Nudge your neighbor and tell him it's a spirit. We've got to know this stuff. We've got to know where is the source of the oppression. You know, applying the wrong medicine, applying the wrong diagnosis to a situation can be more dangerous than not having any medication at all. You've got to know where the source is. You've got to know what the problem is. 99% of the world's problems are spiritual. They are not political. They are not financial. They are spiritual. Jesus, wake this bunch up, Lord, I pray. Praise God. Let's go, and we'll see Midian. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 2. The Bible says that the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens in which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. How do I know whether the attack I'm under is a Midianite spirit? Do you retreat into your cave? Do you ghettoize? If you ghettoize, chances are the kind of spiritual attack you're under is a Midianite spirit. The difficulty there is that if the devil can ghettoize you, he can fragment you, he can separate you, he can cut you off, and he can oppress you all the days of your lives. Some of the children of Israel will have died in those caves in Midian, oppressed, broken down. Oh, we can't go out. Midian will attack us. I break that oppression off your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And the thing about the Midianite spirit, once it's got you in the cave, once it's got you in that little ghetto, you won't come out and pray. You won't come out and break the devil's power. You won't come out and just stand in faith for something. No, you ghettoize. You go into your own little corner. Me and my husband, I will sit there and cry. And every time you step out the door, Midian attacks you again. Why? Because he's got you. And it takes a supernatural deliverance to deliver you from that Midianite spirit. It's a strong spirit. Strong, oppressive. I know that one of the plans of the devil for Great Britain is to try and divide us. He's desperate to try and divide us on racial, on cultural lines. He's using every available weaponry to try and divide us as a nation. Midianite spirit. Midianite. You saw it. You remember those 2011 riots? You think those things were political? You think those things, the Bible calls it the mystery of lawlessness. How can a nation like Great Britain suddenly burn within 5 days? The mystery of lawlessness. And people started to ghettoize. Whoop, whoop. And the Lord told me on one particular day, I think it was a Tuesday, I was in the office doing something. The Lord told me, he said, you need to pray for Birmingham. He said, Birmingham will see this thing go one way or the other. He said, you'll either have a civil war on your hands or you'll have peace. You need to pray. He said, there's not enough prayer cover in Birmingham. Imagine. What, Britain's second largest city? And God's saying you need to pray for Birmingham because there's no prayer cover. Midian. people retreating into their own ethnic nines. Suddenly the Sikhs were defending the Gurdwara. The Muslims were defending the mosques. The Christians were out, divided on color lines. Imagine, Midian. We need to pray. Hey, we need to pray. I mean, pray. You know, I don't just mean, you know, prayer. I don't mean that kind of thing. I don't mean prayer. I mean prayer. Spit flying out of your mouth. Your guts sore the next day because of the concerted, effectual, fervent prayer. Prayer that brings a breakthrough. Prayer that brings solutions. Prayer that causes people to rise up and take and occupy the right political offices. Prayer. There's sometimes only prayer can do it. May God put a spirit of prayer on your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You know what? If we're really to lay hold of what God's got for us in 2020, this year of what? Pressing. Are you getting it now? Are you getting some of where we need to be at? Pressing in prayer, pressing in prayer, pressing in prayer. I think we'll get there. I think we'll do it. I think some of the greatest blessings, some of the greatest breakthroughs that we are yet to see in Harvest will happen in 2020. Yeah, because when you know, you see, when you know your enemy, when you know him, I know when he's around, I know when he's up to something. And this is one of the things about the devil. If he's not actually active doing something, he's plotting and planning. He's not resting. He's a 24/7 devil. So we have to wear him out with spiritual warfare. I mean, calling on the name of Jehovah God. We've not yet prayed, thank God, until our sweat became great drops of blood. But Lord Jesus, we're going to push into the realm of prayer. I saw the start of something at the All Night on Friday. I said, God, give it to us. God, get, you know the way God will dangle something in front of you and say, here it is, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. What are you prepared to pay for it? I said, it's mine. It's mine. We'll take that one by force in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll change this nation. We'll change this nation. People say, well, you're only a few hundred people. How can you change a nation? We've changed the course of nations already. Some of you at the All Night, some of the prophetic that came, you know it. Yeah, we'll do it. By God's grace, we'll get the job done in Jesus' mighty name. So Midian ghettoizes people. Pharaoh oppresses people. Now, this is just three. You know, you could go into Jezebel. You could go into the body of Christ loves the spirit of Jezebel, because you know it's like a controlling spirit. But you see, a lot of the teaching on Jezebel doesn't track the origin of the thing. The origin is in witchcraft. The origin is in Molech worship. The origin of that Jezebelic spirit is very, very, very strong, very high level of demonic activity. But that's for another time. I don't want to scare you out the door. It's Sunday morning. It should be nice and gentle. Jesus, meek and mild. Pastor P, what on earth has happened to you? Praise God. We'll get there in the mighty name of Jesus. So we know Pharaoh by his oppression. We know Pharaoh by how he threatens you financially. We know Pharaoh by how he oppresses you. And there's another angle to Pharaoh that I just want to really touch on very fast. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 25 and 28. Exodus 8, 25. Exodus 8, 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. Moses' appeal to Pharaoh was what? Let my people go. But Pharaoh says, you know what? We don't want you to go too far. Sacrifice to your God within the land. You know what? And even lift up a prayer for me. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound righteous? But you see, Moses' mission, in other words, you see, half a mission accomplished is no mission accomplished at all. To accomplish the mission, we've got to accomplish it 100%. Do it excellently all the time, right? But Pharaoh says, you know what? Okay, well, just have a day off or whatever. You know, like, just sit, you know, see what was that next verse I said? Was it 28? Verse number 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, Pharaoh doesn't want you to leave town. You see, I had to, let me put it this way, I had to escape from my postcode. Anyone from Tottenham, don't put your hand up, but you know what I'm talking about. To move out of Tottenham is an escape. Trust me, for some of where you live, some of you where you live right now, to move from where you are is an escape. It's a deliverance. Abraham, leave your country and your father's home. Why? There's so much demonic in your father's house, so much demonic in your generations. I've got to take you out of there so that I can get something of destiny, something of promise, something of blessing into your life. It's an escape. It's an escape. Yeah. Yeah. May God deliver you from where you live in the name of Jesus. What a great message. Look, should we empty London town? We just empty the place. Every ghetto will just break its power in Jesus' mighty name. Turn London into one massive donut. You'll be all out in the country enjoying yourselves. Praise God, going shooting and fishing. And I said to my kids, I said, guys, make sure that you live in a place where there's more trees than people. It's good for you. God put man in a garden. Yeah, it's good for you. Pastor P, you're winding me up. Change the subject. Okay, let's move on. Pharaoh doesn't want us to go far away, right? So we've got to determine. Pharaoh represents the oppression of poverty, the oppression of slavery, the oppression of being downtrodden, the oppression of being surrounded by all kinds of just like horrible, nasty oppression. So we've got a purpose in our heart that we're going to go far in Jesus' name. Like if you're going to live in London, live in a penthouse, somewhere beautiful, somewhere where you can see the River Thames, not the River Lee. Hallelujah. No, I'm kidding. That's just an old jibe at my old hood. Just somewhere nice, somewhere where there's a park to walk in, somewhere green and pleasant, somewhere where the atmosphere can speak to you, where you're not having to trip over some nastiness in the road. We'll move on. Jesus, I can tell I'm challenging some. I want you to press. I want you so much to press that this thing becomes such a blessing in your life. You say, wow, I remember that message that Pastor P, something entered my heart that caused me determined to prosper, determined to break free from Pharaoh's spirit, determined to be the head and not the tail, determined to be above and not beneath, determined to be the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers, determined to enjoy the best, to drive the best, to own the best, to read the best, to experience the best. Hallelujah to Jesus. May that be your portion. May you be free of Pharaoh in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. That compromising devil will try and get you so far and no further. May that not be your portion or your testimony. Now look at another one. Judges chapter 3. We'll close here. We're just going to look at Judges chapter 3. And we will look at, let's have a look. Let's see our old enemy, Eglon. Judges 3:17. Eglon, the king of Moab. Look at the description of Eglon. Eglon, the king of Moab, was one of the oppressors of the nation of Israel. He sat on Israel's blessing. You know anything sitting on your blessing right now? Its source may be an Eglonite spirit. Oppressive taxation, Eglon. I noticed something. In nations where taxation is oppressive, all the civil servants and all the government people, they do very well. No one else does well at all. But they just sit down on the blessing. Like you work hard to earn your honest living. And then they'll come and they'll take the thing from you. This is what was happening with Eglon, the chief civil servant of the demonic realm, Eglon, sitting down on Israel's blessing, getting fat on the efforts of Israel. And then one guy, strategic left-hander, comes in, ends the life of that thing, stabs him in the belly, disembowels him so that his bowels spilled out. Some spiritual warfare is not nice. You know, we have this gentle Jesus, meek and mild approach to spiritual warfare. You read in the book of Revelation concerning Christ when he deals with the spirit of Jezebel. He says in the church, he says, you tolerate the woman Jezebel. I'm going to put her on a bed of sickness. I'm going to kill her, and I'm going to kill her kids too. Jesus. Nice little Jesus, gentle, meek and mild baby Jesus. Huh? He said, I'm going to put her on a bed of sickness and I'm going to kill her kids. I mean, mate, that makes the mafia look merciful. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what happened to John? Oh, nobody knows. You know, we don't know what happened. But, you know, but the kids is okay. The kids is good. Jesus comes here, I'm going to whack the kids too. What? Yeah. There's a kind, you see, the Bible says, behold the kindness and severity of our God. We've got to know both sides. Especially in spiritual warfare. I opened my Bible once. I said, God, what are you going to teach me today? And he says, I turned it, where was it? I think one of the five books of Moses, around about the second chapter. And it was talking about, it might have been Leviticus chapter 2. It was talking about God establishing the priesthood of Aaron through the Levitical line. And I had my Bible open, and then it said, the Lord replaced the two sons of Aaron who died before the Lord because they made strange incense before God, so God killed them. And then it just moves on. Like next, I shut my Bible. I said, God, let me go watch football or something. I said, what? I mean, the guys made the wrong kind of smoke before God and he killed them. Severity. Thank God we don't live under the Lord Jesus. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. You see, this abundant life is worth fighting for. It's worth doing warfare for. I know the blessing of God is mine. I'm determined to receive and walk in that blessing, and woe betide any devil trying to stop me in the mighty name of Jesus. I've set my face like flint for the blessing of God. Spiritual warfare 101. We are blessed, but we have an enemy. Engage your enemy with all boldness, with all righteousness. Do it the right way, you'll get the victory. Stand to your feet. I want to thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise for your word today. We pray that we will get with the program, Heavenly Father, concerning spiritual warfare. We pray that we'll understand what you're calling us to in this year of pressing, that we can literally press on to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He who was from eternity, who called us by his own glory and excellence, has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, everything necessary for us to break free truly in our lives from the oppression of the devil. Father, thank you, Lord God, for your blessing. Thank you for your favor. That there's no end to it, Lord God. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, its rooms are filled with all kinds of precious things. In Jesus' name, let that be the portion and the inheritance of everyone here under the sound of my voice. The Lord God will go on. We will literally press in to the prize of that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.